Matthew 17, please. If I have notes that I would like to pass out, so if I can get four guys to help me, and I think I have enough notes for most people, maybe not for the little children, but for most everybody else. Thank you. I need four guys. Somebody? Number four? Thank you. Matthew 17, please. The lights are still on and nobody's home. All right. They'll have enough, I think, among them. Jim? If you don't have a Bible this morning, and by the way, there's a very specific reason you're getting notes. The text we're going to look at this morning, it has some idiosyncrasies that will help you a great deal by just seeing some words a little differently. So, all right, let's all stand, please. I'm going to read from the King James Bible. If you're reading from the ESV, I would recommend you don't on this text. It massacres it. The New American Standard, at least the 1995, is in your bulletin. There's some real technical things here. Because we're dealing with something, and by the way, can I say this to everybody? There's a thousand texts I would rather preach on. It's the next text in Matthew, and I actually thought much about what I was going to speak on this morning because I thought we might have visitors. So I'm going to say to our two friends of Malaya, ladies, let me just say this to you. There's a lot of things I'd like to talk about more than this, but Christianity impacts everything we are, down to paying taxes. And this is one of the stories about Jesus and taxes. Can I ask, don't raise your hand, how many of you love paying taxes? You just can't wait. My sister was born on April 15th, which is tax day. I'm born on April 23rd, so I always think you're a curse, Rita. You're the reason we pay taxes. Until Jesse was also born on April 15th, and no, it's not that way anymore. There are some technicalities in this text, and we'll explain them as we go through. You don't have to read the Greek. But it is extremely important in this text. And when you go home, read this in five different translations, and you'll see how confused most of them are. The King James is not clear either. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, ta de drachma, came to Peter and said, doth not your master or your teacher pay this 2 drachma? Doesn't he pay that, the tribute? But that's a very specific phrase in referent. Verse 25, he saith, what does Peter say? Yes. He says, yes, he pays his taxes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus, and this is old English, a lot of versions leave this word out altogether, we don't know if Jesus overheard them talking or Jesus, being very God of very God, knew what they were talking about. It's not clear, but he knew what they were talking about in some fashion. So he kind of goes before and says, listen, what do you think? What thinkest thou, Simon? He changes Peter, which is Greek, Petros, to Simeon, which is Hebrew, okay, or Aramaic. So he changes the name, same person. He says, Simon, what do you think? Of whom do the kings of the earth, and then he uses two different words, take custom, tele, and tribute, kainsos, of their own children or of strangers? By the way, that's a question you're like, huh? Are you ready? The Romans didn't tax Roman citizens. They taxed all the people they conquered. And for the privilege of being conquered, you got to pay taxes. You're missing the privilege, aren't you? That's how it worked. So he's asking an obvious question. The Romans don't tax themselves. They tax, well, the Jews and every other country they had conquered, and they conquered a lot of countries. So he asked an obvious question. Well, Peter saith unto him, well, obviously the strangers, people that are not of that group. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. We could say free. The word is free, but it means exempt from taxes. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Then he has one of the strangest little verses. Go thou to the Sea of Galilee, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, a stater. Then take and give unto them for me and thee, which is interesting, for both of us. We're going to talk about Jesus and taxes. By the way, is this an appropriate time? Can I ask how many of you don't raise your hand? How many of you paid your taxes? I don't know why it is, but we have a person that does our taxes, and every year she's late. And every year we get an extension. Do I like to pay taxes? I want to tell you this. I'm not 90 years old, no matter what Bambi says. And I have not paid taxes since I was 22. She pays all the taxes. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for your word. This, yes, it's not quite up there with salvation, but it's talking about what salvation looks like in the day-to-day world, how Christians live, how we behave, how we are good citizens, how we ought to be as much as possible the best of citizens. Because Christianity is not a religion done in a church, it's lived out on Monday through Saturday in the world. Help us to hear this morning as we look at this somewhat unique, but yet we all have the taxes. Bless our time now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I grew up around both Christians and non-Christians like most of you. As a kid, I don't know if parents think you don't listen, but as a kid, I heard many conversations about taxes. Why I remember this? Probably because my dad didn't like to pay taxes. Does anybody like to pay? No one likes to pay taxes. I don't think anybody I grew up with wanted to pay taxes. I am sure no one wanted their taxes to go up. By the way, for everybody that's in this room, are you part of the state of Illinois? Do you know we have in the Constitution that they can't manipulate certain taxes? That was voted in when I was in high school. Did you know that? Which our present governor wants to change the Constitution so he can increase even more taxes. So I grew up around conversations about taxes. The strange thing is, though nobody wanted to pay them, nobody wanted to pay more than they had to, everybody wanted to get out as many of them as they could. As far as I know, I never met a person that didn't pay their taxes until the 1980s. And I met a group of Baptists. Can I name names? Indianapolis Baptist Temple, Greg Dixon, that were part of a Baptist movement that told the members of their church, do not pay your taxes, do not get a driver's license, send your marriage license back to the state. We are unregistered Baptist. By the way, this isn't a maybe. I went to Greg Dixon's church in 1979, we both went there. That was the second largest church in America in 1979. By about 1990, it no longer existed. And some of them went to jail. People were committing suicide. You say, why? Look at me, friend. In this passage, Jesus talks about paying taxes. And Peter is asked, and what does Peter reply? People say, well, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes because our government supports abortion. Now, everybody take a breather. I'm against abortion. Do you think taxes paid to Rome paid for any bad things? In your notes under the verses, this is just introduction. Luke 23:2. This talks about the three big reasons, not the Jewish leadership, but the Romans eventually crucified Jesus for. The three big reasons. When they began to accuse him, Jesus, saying, we found this fellow, that's probably not a nice, you know, this idiot over here. He was doing three things: perverting the nation, stirring the pot, getting people to hate Rome is the idea. Secondly, forbidding to what? To give tribute, or that's one of the words, pharos, something that has weight. Forgiving to give their taxes to Caesar. And thirdly, saying that he himself is Christ a king. The Romans didn't care about religion. They didn't care about Jesus, but they did care about three things. They liked peace, not the place being stirred up. They liked their money, and they didn't want anybody to say they were a king other than Caesar was the emperor. Now, just for your information, in the next passage, which is much later than the Gospels, Paul actually says something very similar. He said, by the way, friends, can I say this before everybody goes to sleep? How did a man get in the pulpit and tell people in his Baptist church who say they believe the Bible not to pay taxes? When Jesus specifically teaches this, and Paul teaches the same thing. Read the text. Render, therefore, to all what you owe them, their dues. Tribute, that's a form of taxes that's found in the previous verse in Luke 23. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom, we'll come to that a little later in the sermon. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. How many times have I heard this next statement? You can only be sure about two things. I think I heard that as a kid. We have some young people that have now graduated from college and have jobs. Nikki, no picking on Nikki. Not Nikki, she's not here. Dana, excuse me. I know, Dana, you're here. I remember asking either you or your sister or both of you the first check you got from being a nurse. Was it you or your sister? You don't remember. I just remember saying, how'd you like those taxes? You made all that money, and where did all that money go? By the way, good luck on getting out of paying taxes. Well, hey, by the way, for you for not from America, welcome to America. The land of the home, and the home was the land of the brave and the home of the free. No, the home of the taxpayer. That's what it means. Friends, I'm going to be very gentle this morning and just walk through the passage. Read the verses. What does the scripture teach us? Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, I'm not going to explain all of this until point two. They that, the King James says, that received tribute money, but it was a very specific tribute money. Ta de drachma. The two drachma, which a drachma was Greek for a denarius, which is Roman. And if you speak Spanish, a denarius is where you get dinero from. So it comes all the way from Latin. But the drachma was a Greek term, and it meant a day's wage. This particular tax was a didachma, can't speak. It was two of them, 2 days' wage. And it goes on to say, does not your master pay tribute? And he immediately says yes. Number one in your notes, Jesus paid his taxes. Is that simple enough? The flow of this text is simply this. Peter was asked. When he was asked, he answered yes. Peter knew that Jesus paid his taxes. Peter knew this without much thought. He didn't have to say, I don't know, let me go ask Jesus. He knew By the way, it's such ingrained in the scripture that whatever country we're part of, Christians attempt to be exemplary citizens. And yes, that means paying your taxes. Of course, I would say that he knew this as a given. He didn't have to pray about it, think about it. Jesus paid his taxes. Everybody look at me. And if you're a follower of Jesus? Some of you got it. If you're a follower of Jesus? Say, I don't like taxes. We have the privilege called voting. And when the last time our wonderful governor tried to push through a new constitution, I voted no. How about you? But what happens if we get outvoted? We have a lot of people that don't pay taxes, and they don't mind you paying their taxes. Number two, in your notes, this becomes harder, friends, and this is the center of the sermon. Jesus not only paid his taxes, look at verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, this ta is just the plural neuter, is all that means, the drachma, the two drachma, came to Peter and said, does your master, your teacher pay this? Then he said, yes. And then Jesus, like I say, he either overheard this or he just simply knew what was going on. So he kind of pulls Peter aside and he says to him, what thinkest thou, Simon? What do you think, Simon? Of whom do kings of the earth? He doesn't use the same language. This is where the confusion starts. The New American Standard does a pretty good job on the right side of this, but I'll explain as we go along. I put it in there because it does a better job with the money. He uses two different words. He says, of whom do kings of the earth take, first of all, custom? I'll explain that a little bit later. The word tele, and custom there means a termination fee or the money you pay at the end of a journey. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but it's simply like this. I have a product. I'm taking it there. I have to take it to this place, and I have to pay a fee. And then we take it to the next place and pay a fee. And it finally gets to you. And guess what? Down on you, you end up paying for the product. You pay for that fee. You pay for this fee because everybody gets their cut. It's a custom. Customs, basically. But he goes on and uses a different word. He also says, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Kainsos is the particular word, of their own children or of strangers. Number two, friends, is this. Jesus not only paid his taxes, and I don't like this part, he paid all his taxes. He paid all of his taxes. I want everyone to look at me. 1986, I graduate from Bible college. I had earned a bachelor's degree many years earlier in medical technology. I earned a bachelor's degree in theology. I earned a master's degree in education. I'm in the ministry. I go to be a pastor. My first pastor, assistant pastor, was this. I go to a church. My wife knows the family or knew them back then. This is a long time ago. My first church was one of those churches where the pastor was a criminal. He did not pay his taxes. There were people in the church that hadn't paid taxes in years. One of them was being followed by the FBI. By the way, you eventually pay taxes in this country or you go to jail. But my thought is, how does a pastor get behind a pulpit to declare the Bible and not pay taxes? How can you be a cheat? How can you be a liar? Well, Jesus not only paid his taxes, I'm sorry to tell all of you, he paid all of them. And we have a lot of taxes in America. In your notes, the Jews had more than one kind of tax. Let me ask you, how many kinds of taxes do we have in America? Dave Haas, we don't have taxes in America, do we? Let me ask you, can I say this to all of you? You don't even know how many taxes we have. There are levels of taxes you have no idea where they even come from. There's just tax on top of tax. Let me ask you a question. Have you been to the airport and bought a bottle of water and thought to yourself, I didn't want the case. I just wanted one bottle. I have purchased a bottle of, what's that fancy water? Fiji water. And it was $8 for that bottle of water. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question for everybody from this area. Why don't we have a third airport in Chicago? Two reasons. Number one, there's not room in Chicago. And number two, Chicago can't figure out how they could tax that airport. Have you ever looked at O'Hare? Do you understand O'Hare is part of Chicago? Have you ever looked at a map? There's Chicago and there's this line. It's about this wide, way out to O'Hare. Why? Because they tax Chicago, the O'Hare Airport. They couldn't figure out how they could put an airport three counties south and still get the taxes. By the way, it's all about money. Someday you'll figure that out. The Jews had more than one kind of tax. In your notes, some were more welcome than others. Otherwise, some of the taxes people didn't mind paying. Does that make sense to you? Friends, if you will go back up to the verse 24, no Jewish person had a problem with this first tax. When the men come to him that collected the taxes, and we don't know if there were two kinds of tax collectors or the same guy collected all of the taxes, but they came to Peter and they asked him it's a very specific kind of tax. The Jewish people didn't have a problem with this tax. They said, they that received, the King James says, the tribute money, this 2 drachma, they came to Peter and said, doth your master, not your master, and the answer is they assumed he did too, doesn't your master pay tribute? But again, it's that didrachma, the 2 drachma, 2 days' wages. So in your notes, some were more welcome than others. The initial question was about the temple tax. The temple tax. That didrachma, under that, I say this. This was a Greek word equivalent to 2 denarii, or 2 days' wages. But it was for the temple in Jerusalem. For all of you that are interested, how much had the Romans conquered by this time? Much. Julius Caesar had already conquered Spain and France, more or less. They'd conquered up to Germany in some areas. They had not yet conquered Romania. That happens in the next century. The Dacians, they hadn't gone that far and into the Thracians, but they had conquered the Mediterranean rim. Please look at me. Every place they went, 2 things happened. You had to pay Rome money, and number 2, look at me please, you had to send money to Rome to their temple, with one exception. When Israel, the promised land, was conquered in 63 BC, and a little later, Julius Caesar allowed the people of Israel, they're the only group, not to send temple tax to Rome, but to send the temple tax to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, part of what this paid for, from 63 BC or so to 70 AD, it paid for this. Every morning and every night, they sacrificed and prayed for the Caesar. They're the only country. But here's the thing. Jewish people didn't mind praying for him, and they didn't mind paying for the upkeep of the temple. So this was a nice tax. This was a tax that helped me. It's like, wouldn't it be nice to actually put your money in and see where it goes? And actually say, oh, I put money in, and I got a new road. Oh, I put money in, Well, you actually know where it goes. You have some wealthy politicians. But anyhow, we'll move on. The Jews had more than one kind of tax. Some were more welcome than others. The initial question was about the temple tax. So this was a Greek word equivalent to 2 days' wages. 2 denarii or drachma, the Greek form. We find this teaching all the way back in the Old Testament. Exodus 30, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them, that are numbered shall give a, they are numbered half a shekel. That's what they had to give. A half of a shekel was equivalent in the first century to 2 days' wages. So every Jew paid this, but they paid this to Jerusalem for the upkeep of the temple, for the worship of the temple, and of course, so that the priest could offer a sacrifice morning and night and pray for the Caesar. At that time, Augustus, or this time, Tiberius Caesar. And that's who they were praying for. And they did that to AD 70. Can I say one thing more? In AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, the Jewish people were required to take this tax, are you listening, and send it to Rome and pay for a pagan temple. So this was a blessing. No Jewish person had a problem with this tax. This is also found in Exodus 38. We don't have to read the whole thing, but it's this whole idea that every person had to present a half a shekel, which translated into money in the first century was 2 drachma, or 2 denarii. Under that, I say this. The Jews in Jesus' day also had other taxes. Many, and I say many, just like today in our country, many were probably hidden taxes. There's so many taxes, friends, I have no idea what taxes are in America. Look at me. If you think you know the tax system in America, please explain it to anybody. The tax system in America is just, we tax everything 8 times and backwards, upside down and forward. Everything is taxes to the place where, frankly, the vast majority of our money goes to taxes, and you don't know it. Now, some of it, look at me, some of my taxes, I like to support our military. You know why? I don't want those people that want to conquer us coming here. I like that. I like supporting some things. There's other things I don't like in your notes. So many were probably hidden taxes, and some were exceptionally hated taxes. Exceptionally hated taxes. Next page. In the text that Jesus himself uses, the words that Jesus himself uses, he uses the word telos and the word kainsos. The first one was disliked. The second one was hated, hated, hated by the Jewish people. In your notes, custom. King James calls it custom. The first tax, he says, of whom do the kings of this earth raise this tax and the next one? Custom. That means custom, terminal or termination taxes. Basically taxes, again, you bought a product, that product came from wherever, and they had to pay a tax when it came into the country. They had to probably pay a tax at each border. And when it finally gets to you, you pay a big tax because everybody in between that paid a tax, you had to pay for their tax. And all of that is the custom or the termination tax. A custom. That was one of them. They didn't like that tax, but the next tax is terrible. What the King James calls tribute, the kainsos, that Greek word is related to the census. And this tax is simply this. This is, I want to make sure I get it exactly as I have written it. It is the census tax, sometimes called a poll tax, or sometimes called a head tax. Friends, they had to pay a tax simply for the privilege of existing in your own homeland under Roman rule. It was basically saying this, thanks for coming in, Rome, and taking over. Here's my head tax that I have the privilege of paying to you for you conquering my country. Everybody look at me. They hated this tax. This, and Jesus, you're not getting me. Jesus, Peter knew he paid the temple tax. That was everybody wanted to take care of the temple. You're Jewish. The temple is the center. The normal taxes, custom taxes, which we have tons of different kind, that was bad enough. But boy, when you had to pay just to exist, people didn't like that much. In your notes, let's continue. These were taxes owed to Rome. Remember, Rome was the conquering country. They were taxes not only owed to Rome, and this is my language, I don't know another term for it. They were taxes farmed out to tax collectors. Have you ever heard of publicans in the New Testament in the King James? Publicans is really more from a Roman word, publicani. Publican, Greek, it's telones, it means a tax collector, but it was this. Here's Rome, way over there. Rome had people that were Jewish, normally, and they had to collect their taxes, but the Romans didn't want to collect them. They hired Jewish people, normally, to collect taxes from Jewish people. They became the in-between guys. They were the tax collectors, the publicans, and almost every time they're mentioned, it's public. Somebody say it with me. Publicans and? No. Publicans and sinners. Why? Because you're collecting taxes for the people that have conquered us. And that dominate us, and that rape and pillage us. So the worst people in Israel weren't the Romans. It was this in-between group, because they farmed that out, and, oh, it's dirty. It's dirty. You'll see it in the text. So in your notes, taxes owed to Rome, taxes farmed out to tax collectors. The taxes were then collected by these middlemen. And these middlemen, guess what these middlemen did? They added their cut to the taxes. So if you owed $100, maybe legitimately they could charge you $110, but they could charge you as much as they could get away with. Friends, when you read in the New Testament about publicans, and it's almost always connected with sinners, people despise these people because they were disloyal to Judaism and they were thieves. They were stealing money. Look in your notes. Matthew 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named who? Matthew. Sitting at the receipt of custom. He was one of these tax collectors. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Unbelievably, Matthew became a believer after being a tax collector. Verse 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many, notice the language, publicans and sinners. Some people think this is actually the same. You know, publicans, that is sinners. Came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And you say, then you're real pious. Oh, Jesus loves a sinner. No. It's not just a sinner. It's someone that's betrayed your country. Someone that works for Rome. It's the Vichy in France in World War II. It's the people that sell out. Yes, Jesus was reaching even the sellouts, like the publicans and sinners. Verse 3 of chapter 10. One of his apostles becomes, i.e., the guy that wrote the book we're reading, Matthew was a publican. In Luke, when people come to follow the Lord, they ask questions. One of the groups were publicans. Notice what it says. Then came also tax collectors, telonai, to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He didn't tell them, sing kumbaya and bow three times toward Jerusalem. He said this, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Why? It assumes that tax collectors were thieves. Well, I'm putting a lot of things together for your benefit, I hope. All of these would be supervised by a chief or a head tax collector. Everybody look at me. If they don't like the tax collectors, who would they like less? The person in charge of them. We know one of their names. For the first time, some of you will actually understand the problem. His name is Zacchaeus. He's not just a tax collector, he is an arch tax collector. He is the guy in charge. Now, we don't know if they had multiple of these. Probably there were more, but there were levels. These were the guy. These were the thieves, the great thieves in charge of the other thieves. Look what happens in this text. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the architeleones, the head chief, the arch tax collector. And he was what? And where did he get rich from? Stealing money. By the way, when he gets saved, how does he demonstrate that he gets saved? Glad you asked. Look at verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a what? Sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the... He had been stealing a lot of money. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him. You see, how they got more money was they just charged. They said, you need to owe three times or four times. This man is really breaking with his thievery. So when Jesus talks about taxes, these are very political hated issues because tax collectors were thieves. In both places, you find out in Luke 3 and in Luke 19, both of them imply that these people were thieves. So, they had a lot of taxes to collect. Well, we'll look at number 3. Everyone look at me. How do you like me this morning? Wouldn't you rather me preach something exciting? I want to say this to you. I'd rather you live as a Christian than me preach something exciting. By the way, being a thief, not paying your taxes, doesn't make you a good Christian. You're not taking your stand. No, I don't like to pay taxes either, and I don't want to pay any taxes more than I have to. But friends, thievery? How's a Christian read what Jesus says where it's very clear? He paid his taxes. He paid all of his taxes. Even the despised ones. Just for you got to pay a tax for breathing? By the way, I'm going to be surprised if the new mayor of Chicago doesn't put a new tax at O'Hare. Call this breathing tax. They tax everything else to death. But by the way, you don't really think that poor guy that's out there selling you the bottle of water for $8 a bottle makes money, do you? That's pure tax. Now, my son, he says there's also poor people taxes. You all know what poor people taxes are. Smoking, drinking, and gambling. Those are poor people taxes. Smoking is all taxes, drinking is all taxes, and gambling is all taxes. Everybody pays. Number 4. Or 3, excuse me. Notice carefully what he says. So Simon Peter, had answered the tax collectors, yes, he pays the temple tax. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, or got ahead of the conversation, so to speak. And he asked, well, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take tele, which is custom tax, you know, termination, you know, you're paying all the fees as things are transported across borders, and tribute, head tax, just to exist? Do they do that of their own children or of strangers? Well, the obvious answer is, Peter says, well, of strangers. Then Jesus makes a very provocative statement. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, or exempt. So I say in your notes, number 3, Jesus didn't need or have to pay his taxes because, friend, he owns everything. Can I give you all one positive today? Everyone look at me. You're going to love one thing. Only one thing I say you're going to like. There'll be no taxes in heaven. Until then, get used to the taxes. Jesus didn't have to pay them. Why? He's the King of Kings. But then he makes this next statement. Look, if you would, in verse 27. Notwithstanding, he says, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea. Go to the sea, Peter. Sea of Galilee. Cast a hook. By the way, what was Peter's profession? Fisherman. Peter, go do what you do. Take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, a stater. Statera. Then that take and give unto them for me and what? Yep, for you and me. I would say number four, Jesus paid his taxes as a matter of honor or testimony. He says something in this passage that should grab you, Christian. Jesus says, nevertheless, or notwithstanding, even though in one sense, if you're a Christian, you're a child of the King, you're bought with a price, you're going to heaven, you're going to, in the future, there's going to be a millennium on earth where Christ rules and reigns. In one sense, you're the child of a King, but you live in this world. You don't live in heaven yet. You don't live in the New Jerusalem yet. You live here, and because you live here, because of that, he says very clearly, lest we should offend. That word has a broad meaning according to context. It can mean something just as simple as disappoint somebody. It could mean something a little bit stronger, like you offend, hurt someone's feelings. Probably not that here. It probably moves over to this side where you actually do this. You trip somebody up. You cause someone harm in some fashion. You cause them to... Here they would look at Jesus and they would find out Jesus didn't pay his taxes. That could harm people coming to Christ. And he says, lest we should offend. We never want to harm someone, trip someone, damage someone. Therefore, that principle controls how we live. Lest we should offend. I say in your notes, the major moral principle which guides us, grounds us, directs us, is this principle. Number four, by the way, I haven't given it to you in the words. Jesus paid his taxes as a matter of honor or testimony. The great moral principle that guides us, grounds us, and directs us is we don't do anything that would harm people. So when we pay our taxes, we don't want to do damage to people by not doing it and saying it's okay to be a thief. It's okay not to do what you're supposed to do. And by the way, friends, this is all through the Bible. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine of any variety, nor anything whereby thy brother, get it, stumbleth or is offended. That's a little stronger, same word, trapped or tripped up, or is made weak. That principle controls Christians. We don't do things. There are things we don't do. Everybody look at me. I'll make it simple. I want to make this simple. You know there's things that I think a person could do that you shouldn't do? Let me ask you a question. Would it be okay for a Christian, say Pastor Warren, to go to a gambling boat, but say, hey, listen, I don't drink, and I don't gamble. I'm just going there for the food. Well, here's the problem, friend. When you go on a gambling boat, it's assumed you go there to... Well, you say, Pastor, I can gamble. Well, I can't. By the way, I don't go to a tavern. I only get tempted to go to a tavern if I'm around Louie or Cliffy. Other than that, I never get tempted. Look at me, friend. There's things I don't do. You say, why? People would be hurt. You say, well, Pastor, is it wrong to buy one lottery ticket? Can I say this to you honestly? If there were people in this room, little kids, that knew Pastor Warren bought a lottery ticket, what I do in moderation, my followers do in excess. People would think, I guess it's okay. Do you know there's things you just don't do because it harms others? And I want you to hear me. It's all through the New Testament. This is not some hidden verse. The dominant theme of the Bible is a lot of things we don't even get around. It's not. I don't hate people. You say, Pastor, I still want to have a beer. Well, this is what I say to you. God bless you. I hope you enjoy that nasty stuff. I wish you knew how bad you smelled once you got done drinking it. And can I say something? I have not missed one drop of alcohol in my adult life. I never have to go to bed at night wondering what I did. Can I have an amen? I never misplace anything. I don't throw up. Well, maybe if I eat too much, but there's just a lot of things we don't do. Why don't we do them? Because it's a matter of honor, testimony. Don't want to harm people. Let's read the verses. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, there's a pastor in Minnesota that graduated from a good seminary that I support and I'm on the board. And he went to his church and decided it was okay to smoke pot. You say, what's wrong with a little marijuana? Do me a favor, just go drink some gasoline and then tell me about it. What's wrong with a little gasoline? It tastes really good. It's good for you. Oh, brother. Verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to what? Offend. I do harm to him in some fashion. Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I'm pretty sure, friend, if you go out with a friend to a restaurant and eat a meal, you can edify your friend, and you can enjoy the conversation, and you can tell dumb jokes and laugh and have fun. I'm pretty sure if you take a walk in one of our parks around here, you can have fun with your friends or your family, and you don't have to do anything that even potentially harms someone else. I think it's a principle that he just keeps saying this. Chapter 10, verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Leviticus has this in a very different form. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. For brethren, Paul says in Galatians, you have been called unto liberty. You have been freed. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. 1 Peter 2, verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of evil, maliciousness, but as the servants of God. This principle, Jesus paid his taxes. He paid all of his taxes. He didn't have to. Why did he? Because for honor's sake, for testimony, so he didn't harm people in any fashion. I want everyone to look at me, and I'm almost done. I could spend all day here, but we're going to stop because we're going to actually be goofy. But I want you all to hear me. I'm very thankful. In southwestern Illinois, I grew up with a woman about that tall. She was not a pondock. She is not a midget. But she's just barely taller than a midget. But can I say something to you? My mother, look at me, straight down the road. Was she perfect? No. My mother-in-law, not perfect either. But my wife grew up in the same kind of family. Can I say something? Sooner or later, you decide who you are, and are you going to do right or are you not going to do right? And a lot of doing right is simply this. Yeah, maybe you can figure out some way of threading the needle. But your children won't. Your followers won't. I learned a long time. By the way, if I don't talk about movies, I don't go to movies. I haven't been to one since 1975. But if I watch one, I never talk about it because I have people here that their whole life is movies. What you do in moderation, your followers will do. Be careful about your testimony. It's biblical teaching. You say, it's all right if I use a few curse words once in a while. Really? Why? Aren't there better language? Guess what? You say those curse words, and then all of a sudden, one day you're in the back seat of the car and your children are behind you, and all of a sudden you're driving and you hear your children speaking just like you. There's a matter of harming others, honor. Jesus said, yes, I don't have to do this, but I will do this because I don't want to harm anybody. Honor. Lastly, I'll just conclude with this. Jesus paid his taxes through. And you'll have to tell me. I'll give you a suggestion. Let's read the verse and we'll be done. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend. Peter, right? Peter, Simon Peter, go thou to the sea, Sea of Galilee. Cast a hook. Take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That is a stater. By the way, a stater, another Greek term, was worth, look up here, 4 drachma. 1 drachma, 1 day's wage. 2 drachma, 2 days' wage. The temple tax was 2 drachma, half a shekel. Are you ready? The stater was worth 4 drachma, which meant when you find this coin in his mouth, you have enough to pay your taxes, Peter, and my taxes. Got it? Very specific language. Now, you say, how are you supposed to pay your taxes? You say, Pastor Warren, through a miracle. God is miraculously going to allow me to pay my taxes. And I agree with you, but I'm going to ask you all a question. Are you all ready? What was Peter's job? My guess is it was a miracle. And this is how you pay your taxes. Are you ready? Take a breath. You pay your taxes through the miracle of work. Go fishing, Peter. Pay your taxes. Shut up. Honor God. Do right. That's what God teaches. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for every person that's here this morning. I would never want to think that anybody would come to Lake County Baptist and think, there are Christians there who are dishonest. I would like everybody to think the truth, which is, we're not perfect people. Some of us are very imperfect, but we are people who attempt to honor God, do right, and cause no harm to anyone else. Even if it means we can't do some things that somehow we might think we can justify. Because we would rather cause no harm. We would rather that none stumble or fall or harmed or tripped or are trapped. We would rather honor you and help others. That's who we are. And we'll pay our taxes through the greatest miracle of all that started on the very first day that we were created. It's called the miracle of work. Thank you for the opportunity to work. Bless us now. And Father, bless the remainder of this day. We're going to have some fun. We ask you to protect everyone. Going to have lots of food and goofiness and all the rest. I thank you that we can come together and have fellowship and fun and support some good things called our missions trip to the Navajo Nation this summer. Thank you. Bless in every piece of this day. In Christ's name, amen.